The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle, and indeed we're live today. I wish the sunshine was a little brighter outside, but nevertheless, it's still a pleasant day because there's no precipitation, at least right now, so I'm going out afterwards. We have a very interesting program for you today, one that kind of draws me back to my years of we won't get too technical, but when I was in college and before that, and we're talking about this craziness that's out there that everybody wanted to get their hands on in a very different way. And we're talking about the extracts of marijuana, THC, and it's called cannabinoids. But we're going to talk about the medicinal applications of something that is not addictive. It's really not a drug per se. It's not a hallucinogenic. And it's called the endocannabinoid system. And I have somebody that really has a very, very special interest, and we won't say why. No, I won't say that at all. But Dr. Stephanie Pina, who's a doctor in naturopathic medicine, and we know that there's so many people out there selling CBD oils and tinctures and so forth, and for pain patterns and many other type of conditions. But we really want to talk about it as it relates to why it's so important. And I'll start out by saying one thing. Many of you don't know this, but every cell in your body has a receptor site for cannabinoid attachments. And having said that, I'm just going to open up. Dr. Stephanie, welcome. And by the way, thank you for covering for me. Appreciate that very much. You gave me the opportunity to go to a conference that was extraordinary. Let's talk about, you know, this endocannabinoid system and start with, what is it anyway?
Yeah, it's a good question because essentially it was never taught in school. This is a system that was first developed and really synthesized, and the information started coming out about it in the 90s. I mean, this is, you know, we think we know everything about the human body and anatomy and everything, but it was in the 90s, 91, 92, 93, that all of a sudden they were able to figure out the receptor sites of how things like THC and marijuana and how things like CBD actually worked within the body as well too. So, but the amazing thing is this system's been around and is in all animals except for the insect kingdom. So we've had this within our system and our body, and it's been working as a way of kind of creating homeostasis and keeping balance. But because it's in all these different organ systems and all these different organ tissues, we basically didn't understand what was going on, but it's a balancer that's so important that doesn't, it's been there longer than thinking about the use of a plant, you know, whether it's cannabis medicinally or CBD. It's been in our bodies and it's still in our bodies without that as well too. So just think that we have a system that regulates pain, sleep, appetite. It helps protect us and our immune system. It helps out with homeostasis and stress response. And more research keeps coming out about how it can actually affect our GI tracts, our reproductive tracts, mood as well too. So some of the things that we had no idea how to control, or we're looking for new options, if we can log into the system and learn more about it and how to optimize it, that's really going to be a whole new ball game as far as holistic medicine goes, as far as pharmaceutical medicine goes, everything and above. So, and my great interest, as Dr. Rozelle started to put into this particular category, has nothing to do with the plants that we're going to discuss involved with it. It basically has to do with the fact that it's another example of botanical medicine where you're showing how plants and the different parts and chemicals and stuff that come from plants work together synergistically to help basically treat us as humans. So plants are once again being kind of put on the key spotlight as medicinal properties and therapeutics, instead of worrying about what the next medication is or how do we extract the one single thing out of it in order to make a better drug.
Well, obviously in our world, we want to do whatever is natural and is the least harmful in its application to try to help people, not only just to resolve the immediacy of the irritation, meaning the pain, the inflammation, but also put the body into a place where it can begin to heal And so many conditions that we see today are a result of an inflammatory cascade. And it's that inflammation that causes tissues to break down and degradate and ultimately to destroy life. And this is a piece that has, for a lot of people, have come out of nowhere. And they're saying, well, you're using marijuana, you know, THC, but it's really not that. That's not what we're talking about. This endocannabinoid system is very specific, very different. Every cell in the body has a receptor site for it. And there's, and one of the things I'm going to talk about, I'm going to ask you to talk about, is the deficiency syndrome. That's, and say, what? I have a deficiency of marijuana? No, that's not what we're talking about. But let's get into this a little bit, because it's being used for pain control. It's been used to drop inflammatory reactions. It's being used, you know, for migraines and GI problems and many other conditions. And you can get into so many different sites, medical sites, that the research now is becoming extremely supportive and evident that not only is it effective, but it, the side effects are not there. So let's take that, please. I know this Wednesday, May 4th, gosh, it's May already, you're going to be doing an in-house presentation on the endocannabinoid system and then how it affects so many different things. And we use, you know, for full disclosure, we obviously use this CBD oils and so forth in our practice, and they're very effective, and we use them in combination with other things. So this Wednesday, May 4th, 7 p.m., Results Center for Healing. Make sure you register. You're welcome to join us. And particularly now we're in a maskless world. And by the way, I want to remind our audience that we're still making sure we're filtering everything around us. And we, you know, we have HEPA filters and we scrub down and clean up and so forth. So we're still trying to make you as comfortable as we possibly can. Let's get back into talking about this and describe, if you would, tell us what really this endocannabinoid system is. And as I said, every cell in the body has a lean towards utilizing it in some way, one way or the other.
So what it is that we have the ability to produce a cannabinoid-like product, and that's natural to us. That cannabinoid-like product is what you'd see in plants like cannabis, but there's other plants as well too, including hops and echinacea and black pepper, that also produces cannabinoids as well too. So it's a normal substance, but within our body, we produce our own on demand. So they're called endocannabinoids. So within the body. And basically those cannabinoids help us by going to a receptor. So it has to turn on a cell by going through the receptor door per se. We always talk about this lock and key model. So certain chemicals go into certain doors in order to create reaction. So this happens with these types of chemicals. And what it's really doing is there to modulate how things are happening in the body. So if something's happening too much, it can slow it down. If it's not happening enough, it can speed it up. So what's funny is when we talk about that, to me, it feels like we're always talking about the adrenal system. It feels like we're talking about the autonomic nervous system between the sympathetic and the parasympathetic system of flight, fight, and rest, digest. And so it's got actions that work on all of these different systems. And that's why you see the medicinal sides or the way you can supplement it or enhance it be so powerful in all these different research studies, because you're basically allowing the body to heal itself, but it's also modulating. So too much of a good thing creates an issue as well too. And not enough of it creates more chronic stress and chronic problems. So if we get too stressed out, our own endocannabinoid systems start to kick in to kind of help us deal with stress. But if you go too stressed out and you go too long with it, it starts to turn itself down and say, maybe this isn't such a good thing either. So there's a lot of different ways that we work with the endocannabinoid system, and then we can supplement and support it, but we can do a lot of good things as far as therapeutics and kind of looking at how do we help out, make sure that our own endocannabinoids, the chemicals that we produce, can stay around in the body to help us support our own health for a longer period of time.
You know, it's interesting. Years ago, I did a paper. It was quite extensive, and it was called Fibromyalgia, the Undisease. And when I did that, what was known at the time is not very much in the traditional medical community, but if you got into it a little bit, then you realize that there were many other different pathways that affected it. And my interest in this, and you know, we talked briefly, is the application of cannabinoids relative to pain patterns within the body and dumbing down, if you will, the pain receptors, but in a way that it actually affects and modulates and turns down the sensation, if you will, pain. But what we're finding is that it actually can shut it off. Now, my question to you, and you brought it up, is that the body produces its own cannabinoid patterns. Can the external application, when somebody is in a deficiency state, and we're leaning into it, I want to talk about that a little bit more, can the external exogenous use of a cannabinoid reset the body so the body can begin to produce back again its own level of cannabinoids?
It can, and that's the great thing. And over the lecture, what we're going to really talk about is not only can we do that through supplementation, where most people think right away like doing CBD, but some of the other phytocannabinoids, the plant-based ones, but then also how do you do it by giving its own ingredients back to it? What makes the endocannabinoids in our own body? So we'll talk a little bit about that. But essentially what's happening is you're turning on a lot of different systems to make sure that those endocannabinoids, the actual chemicals, are sticking around in the body longer. And what's interesting is some of the original research and the way which we thought about the way something like a CBD would work is that it just worked on pain. It just shut off the pain receptors. Well, that pain and inflammation response that goes back and forth, it's also the awareness of what's going on, because some of these receptors are in the brain and the spinal cord, and some of them are in the peripheral tissue. So those are very different types of receptors and how we interpret pain management and how we heal it as well too. So it gives us a lot of different ways to kind of work with pain, as well as not just shutting it off the way like a medication would, so we don't perceive what's going on. You're working on how to actually work on the inflammation, and then also how to deal with some of the subset issues that come along with pain, the mood, you know, mood issues like anxiety and depression, poor sleep, poor digestion. All those other things are basically all wrapped up into the same receptor sites that involve how we deal with endocannabinoids in the body.
You know, it's a fascinating field, and it's one that seemingly has come out of nowhere, but it really hasn't. It's one that has been sitting there for a long, long time, going back into the culture of herbal medicine, which goes back thousands of years. And what they knew intuitively and from clinical observation, if you want to use those terms, today we know scientifically and how it actually affects the body and the modulation that occurs accordingly. The interest, obviously, initially was because of its ability to shut pain receptors down, and where other things failed, even heavy narcotics. And in the world of the addictions that we have to drugs, this is a system that works extremely well if it's applied properly. I'm excited about the ongoing use of it. And, you know, let's talk a little bit about this, this deficiency syndrome again of the ecocannabinoids. What does that really mean? Deficiency? I mean, oh my God, if I don't have enough of it in my diet and so forth, I'm going to go into all this stuff. But, we got a couple of minutes. Let's clean that up real fast.
Well, really what it is that the body can't keep producing its own versions of it. You know, whether we're going through our endocannabinoids too quickly, or essentially we don't have enough of the, say, ingredients to make the cake. And basically what that does is it puts us in a deficient state, so the body can't help to regulate some of those things, such as pain and inflammation, and work on things like sleep control as well.
Okay, so I miscalculated our time. We only had a couple of seconds. We're going to take a break and we'll come back. And this is a fascinating subject. We're going to really get into it in depth. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dr. Tom Roszell Live. Don't go away. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Roszell here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Roszell Live. I have a very special program, one that brings many of us back to the back in the days of the 60s and even before that. What we're talking about is something called cannabinoids. More specifically, the endocannabinoid system, which is very different than the THC and the marijuana that were all suddenly in our brain. What are you talking about that, Doc? I thought you were supposed to be a natural doctor. Well, we are. And my guest today, Dr. Stephanie Pina, who will be your host, your presenter this Wednesday evening at the Roszell Center for Healing in Fairfax. Join us. I think you're going to find this extremely interesting, and it's very legal. And we're not talking about the hallucinogenic THC. We're talking about the stuff that actually has a major impact in your health. And, you know, the first part of the program, Dr. Pina said that every cell in your body has a cannabinoid receptor. Dr. Pina, welcome back. And let's get into this a little deeper and, you know, talk about this deficiency syndrome. You know, people really don't understand that terminology, deficiency, when it comes to CBD or cannabinoids. It's very confusing, but you know, let's talk about it because it can predispose to migraines and fibromyalgia and irritable bowel problems and menstrual problems and heart problems. And even I was kidding you offline and I said, well, you know, it's, you know, allergy season and does it work with that? And, you know, any other problem along that nature. But anyway, that's my being a little silly and let's talk about those things.
Well, the good thing I was going to say before that is, you know, you keep referencing the 60s and stuff and without the 60s and without the use of marijuana and cannabis and everything, you know, that's where a lot of this research started to develop and come from. But it's been a blessing and a curse because at the same time where cannabis was illegal, you couldn't do the research on it to see how it worked in the body. You just had testimonial experimentation, we'll say, about what the effects were. But then when something like the 2018 Farm Bill came and made industrial hemp legal, then we all of a sudden saw this influx of CBD studies because it was grown very differently than the way cannabis was. So all of a sudden you got a chance to start studying the real effects of what this plant, cannabis sativa and indicus, could do. And so the amazing thing is that's how all of these other research studies started to come about and where we started to see really the beauty of what this plant can actually do when it's been modified. It's very different from the way we think of it in the 60s and clearly, even back then, the products that you were ingesting potentially were very different than the products that are out there on the market now.
Now, you're pointing a finger there, and that's not okay. I would just happen to be around that era. I didn't say that I used at all.
Okay. So but the products that were available then are very different. Everything's been hybridized now and pretty much we look at it as a medicinal drug, you know, in some ways because it has to be standardized to some extent and that's where the future is going to go with it. But essentially when we start to see deficiencies in the endocannabinoid system, like you said, it's not about not having enough CBD or THC in the body. It's not our body producing what we need to produce. And it's creating that off balance. And so where you really see issues come forward is in things like fibromyalgia and migraines and IBS, which are some of the top three things that you see with potentially with this endocannabinoid system deficiency. And the main thing is that there's no way to test it. You have to look at symptom control. But if you look at those three issues just by themselves, you see that there's usually an increased sensitivity to pain. So pain modulation has an issue with. You have increased inflammation somewhere on the tissues of the body, whether it's the digestive tract or bones and joints. And then you also see the ability that there's usually that mind-body response as well, too. Sometimes we can't regulate emotions and moods as much. So it leads to the chronic pain issues that lead to chronic anxiety and depression. So instead of addressing that three different ways, we can look at it. One particular system is just not able to help the body deal and process as well as it could. And that's one of the main things that you're going to see more and more people using products like a CBD for, is it can work in conjunction with some of the other therapies that they're doing. But also we have to look at what's not going right in the system and why is this person not healing the way that they should.
It's really important to understand that there are so many different crossovers biochemically in the bodies, and you want to support the ones that are obviously that don't have side effects, that don't destroy tissue. We get into the next part of the program. I want to talk a little bit about the fact that this is basically an omega fatty acid. It's omega-6, and as long as things are kept in balance properly, there's really no harm, no foul, and it supports the body in a lot of different ways. But let's keep that in mind. I want to really dig into this for our audience. May 4th, you're going to do the presentation on this in the office. It's coming Wednesday evening. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live. Don't go away. This is a fascinating program, and nobody better to present it than Dr. Stephanie Pina. We'll be right back.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rizzo here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live. as we try to be for you every Sunday. We have a very special program today, one that kind of brings me back a few years. Well, only an observation. I want to make that perfectly clear. However, we're talking about the endocannabinoid system. Cannabis is where the extract comes from, but it is, we're not talking about the drug-induced situation. We're talking about receptor sites within every cell in your body. And as a result, what happens when there's a deficiency, yes, I said a deficiency, that you can have pain that is intractable, just doesn't go away. You can have all kinds of inflammatory responses and the like. Dr. Stephanie Pina is my guest, your host this Wednesday evening, the 4th of May, 7 p.m. at the Result Center for Healing. This is a fun program, so I would encourage you, you know, as soon as the program's over, or even right now, go online at rosellecare.com. That's rosellecare.com. RoselleCare.com and register or call the office 703-698-7117 and register. It's I think you can go away with a ton of information and some clarity of data that you wouldn't otherwise suspect. And by the way, you're welcome to call us right now, right here at 888-630-9625. Dr. Pina, welcome back. Let's get into this a little bit more in depth. And I mentioned in the first part of, or the last part of the program, that this substance, these cannabinoids, they have an omega fatty acid pathway. And we talk about omega-3s and 6s and 9s, and they all have to be balanced well. This is an omega-6. How does that, you know, we try to keep omega-6s in balance, omega-3s and 9s. So if you do something like this and you give patients omega-6, a cannabinoid, does it cause a deficiency in other pathways? And if it does, how would we be aware of that? I know it's a technical question, but it's where my brain is going right now and it, my curious headspace, if you will.
I'll go there with you. Don't worry.
Okay.
I got you. I got you. I know where you're going. So what's interesting with this is that there are a lot of different cannabinoids and ones that we haven't even figured out that are produced by the body, and they're fat soluble. So kind of like when we think about the sex hormones needing cholesterol as a base, those are fat soluble. So we can bring in as a way to optimize it, give enough, like I keep saying, the ingredients to bake the cake. So that way we can make more on our own. If we don't have enough of those good lipids to make endocannabinoids, then we're going to be potentially leaving ourselves in a deficient state, which when we think about, especially the omega-3s and the function that it has on inflammation, especially cardiovascular health. So we know that we need those. So there brings up that dilemma. What happens with the omega-6s that can be pro-inflammatory as well? Well, what ends up happening is that we need to make sure that there's a balance between omega-3 and omega-6s. Now, the current modern diet, our standard American diet, has like a 10-to-1 ratio of omega-6s to omega-3s. And so if not more. So we're getting plenty of the omega-6 fats in there, and that's why we kind of live in this inflammatory state. But in order to optimize it, we need to actually turn up the good fats as well, too. So we don't. It's not just about giving the omega-6s, which are your plant-based ones. So your things like coconut oil or even primrose oil or even like hemp oil. but essentially, what you need to do is make sure there's a solid balance. And so they've already done studies where they looked at something like the Mediterranean diet that has a lot of good omega-3s in it, that was able to actually help to modulate and optimize the endocannabinoid system as well, too. So even though they're omega-6 based, they still need that balance between omega-3s, the good fats and the bad fats. And what's also really cool is that on a very small scale, you don't really hear about them all that much, just like you don't hear about the minor cannabinoids in plants, is that EPA and DHA omega-3s basically all make their own cannabinoids as well, too. So there are ones that come off of that system as well, too, but they're not talked about nearly as much as the way anandamide and 2-AG are talked about, which is the first two, that the real two big ones that the body produces.
So with the endocannabinoid system, you know, I think we've established the fact that this is a necessary component in the body, and it needs to be able to function basically on its own. But we found in nature that this cannabinoid pattern can be exogenously inputted into the system to the place where it can balance things out. How do we take the American sad diet with levels of omega-6 going through the ceiling with all the garbage that we put in our system and add another omega-6 and not further disrupt and cause an inflammatory cascade or an acidic pattern to occur? How can we modulate that? Or is it something that we don't have to worry about? Is it a different substance altogether? Does it act differently within the system? Obviously, we're trying to put the fire out on pain patterns and inflammation, inflammatory reactions. A migraine, for example, which it has an impact on, has an effect on the vascular patterns of the brain by a true definition of a migraine, causing a real inflammatory reaction due to something, exogenous hormones or whatever. How does this come into play? This is, not only for me, but if I took you out and I had you with me with these group of doctors that I lecture to on an ongoing basis, medical physicians and osteopaths and chiropractors and so forth, they're going to sit there and say, okay, how does this work? So what I'm asking you is, how does this work?
All right. So, I mean, it's about that balance. By putting in good fats, the omega-3s that are anti-inflammatory and have heart health protective effect, properties, what we can do is kind of balance that with also good omega-6s. So the trans fats and the stuff that we think of in the diets are usually because of the processing methods, right? They start to become broken down and decarboxylated, and all the heat that we put to them really makes them, put them in this bad state. If it wasn't good for us to get some kind of omega-6s, it wouldn't be essential. So we still have to get it from some source. But essentially what you can do, though, is if you were going to put omega-6s into the diet, you can pick the right ones. And one of the key ones that I would say really has grown in popularity in the last 5 or 6 years is something like medium-chain triglycerides or coconut oil. And like I said, even evening primrose oil, which is used a lot with hot flashes for women going through menopause. Those particular oils could be added in a very small way to help out with the endocannabinoid system. And that's why you're seeing some of the products that are out there that are CBD-based actually add that in to begin with. They're trying to get that into the body a little bit easier, and they're trying to use other substances to kind of push the basically are these chemicals up to higher levels so that they can do more. So there needs to be a balance, but at the same time, just because we have the endocannabinoid system to keep us in homeostatic conditions balanced, we still can't just throw out everything else of our normal health. We can't just throw out our diet and say, oh no, our endocannabinoid system is going to deal with this. Like, no, it's not. And you still need to be healthy, and you still need to think about what you're eating on an everyday basis. So.
Yeah, because anything like that, obviously you could make life very productive and very supportive and healing. And again, we talked a little bit about resetting your natural endocannabinoid system. And I want people to understand that I've been having a little fun poking at you some, but at the end of the day, this is a natural process. It's one that your body should do on its own if everything was in balance the way it was meant to be in balance. And, you know, the cannabinoids are extracted from many different pathways. And, you know, we talk, yes, it can come from THC. It can come from hemp. It can come from, you mentioned earlier, hops and things of that nature. So it surrounds us. It's all around us. But it's there for a reason. It's nature's way of supporting those systems. And it's not just, well, let's try this. It's a necessary component. And so, this Wednesday evening, I know you're going to get into that in depth, and you're going to, you know, kind of put the pieces together, this May 4th coming up. Let's talk about this a little bit more specifically relative to the inflammatory pathways. How does it put out if it's known in the literature? I've read a little bit because I did a presentation about it. How does it put out that inflammatory reaction where there's swelling and the pain people are experiencing is due to the swelling itself? Is that known, or is it serendipitous relative to just clinical observation?
No, that's actually known. And there's been quite a bit of research where they've looked at how the endocannabinoid system or the receptors, so really what's going to turn on those cells and turn on the reactions, work on individual parts of the immune system. So swelling, especially when we talked about allergies before, the whole mast cell effect and stuff. So now that we're in allergy season, a lot of people are very aware of this right now. because they've got runny noses and everything. But I'll leave that to Dr. Coward's lecture in a couple weeks. But when we look at it, they know that essentially they're able to kind of regulate how the mast cells respond. And so by doing that, what they're doing is allowing the inflammation patterns to do what it needs to do. Remember, inflammation is a necessary thing as well, too. We have to be able to heal, but we don't want to have it take over. Not chronic inflammation. We want to be able to shut it off. So it's been able to kind of put the brakes on, or put the dimmer switch on the different parts of the immune system that kind of help regulate how much of a reaction we have. The same thing goes when you start to see other the phytocannabinoids, or the plant-based substances, the way that they've been used in the public too for fighting other things, even cancer therapies, they've been able to kind of slow down the growth processes and systems by hitting up different types of receptors that are found in cancer cells, that are found in different tissue cells as well too. So the amazing thing is these endocannabinoids, these chemicals that we produce in the body, have a chance to kind of go into the system and modulate it the way it needs to be modulated, try to keep it in check and balance. And by using plant-based substances, or there's even synthetics, because now there's about 4 or 5 drugs that have been developed based off of THC and CBD, what they're basically doing is they're mimickers. They look like the things that we produce in the body, and they go into those cells or the receptors, and either they bind to them and create a similar response, or they moderate them so that way they can kind of turn on or leave around some of our endocannabinoids a little bit longer so they can have more of an effect. So we have a lot of different ways that we kind of do that, but they've actually shown research of how it affects each individual part of the immune system.
You know, years ago, not years ago, it's not so many years ago, but probably 5 years ago, 6 years ago, when I presented this paper in front of a group of about 150 or so doctors, I remember I was talking specifically about the impact that it had both on inflammatory pathways and pain patterns. And there was a distinguishing piece, and I think the research goes back to the early part of 2000, that they broke it down, and there were different receptors. There was a CB1, CB2 receptor. You know, I'm kind of knocking the cobwebs off of my brain right now, and I'm trying to remember some of this stuff. So one, if I remember accurately, and that controlled the inflammatory pathway. Another one was, of one part of the body, specifically for the intestinal tract. And I think that was CB1. And then the other one, anyway, there was a whole bunch of things. And, you know, when we talk about the office, there's something called Renshaw cells and choline and glycine receptor sites and so forth. And this seemed to have something to do with that as well. But anyway, my question to you is this, without getting into the pathogenesis of so many of these, different things. If you're dealing with the different targeting pieces within the intestinal lining, how can we, is there a way that if there's subfractions, if you will, of these cannabinoids, how can we get them? Do we just kind of throw the paint bucket up against the wall? Or is there a way to direct and modulate that enteric system and to be able to specifically go after what it is that we're trying to control?
So I'm going to back up for a second. And then I'm going to answer your question.
Okay.
So yes. So the CB1 receptors that you were talking about, there's two big receptors in the endocannabinoid system. There's multiple ones, and some of them have to do more with pain management and inflammation. Some of them have to do with more bone growth and tissue development. But CB1 is typically, if you think about, we have one nervous system. So the brain and the spinal cord, that's where you primarily find those guys. And so they have a lot to do with pain perception and mood alteration. CB2 receptors are typically out in the periphery, and they're typically the ones that are also involved with the immune system. So they always kind of want to say one's the nervous system and one's the immune system. I wish it was that easy, and then that's where we could leave it, but it's not, because CB1 and CB2 receptors have also been found in the brain, in the liver, and a couple of other tissues as well too. So to make it more complicated, sometimes they're both there. That's why they're in every cell of the body, and they can have such a dramatic effect. So when we really want to target one versus the other, within some of the systems, And within some of, say, the plant cannabinoids, like the CBD, and then it's minor other cannabinoids that's in the plants as well, too, such as CBC and CBN and CBD and or G. And yeah, they get really complicated. There's over 100 plant cannabinoids. So luckily, the lecture isn't going to go over all 100 of them. But the ones that have been going over a little bit more research lately, you can trigger and use certain ones of those to basically kind of help focus what you want to work on the most. So just for example, CBN is a byproduct of extra heat and age, we'll say, to the cannabis plant. And it has more of a sedating effect. So if someone's working more on sleep patterns, they might benefit a little bit more by using a little bit extra CBN with their CBD or separately. So there are ways to basically kind of help to come up with the best kind of treatment plan for the patients, so that way you can use the right receptor types.
But go on,
and also what's interesting is that CBD in itself doesn't have that psychoactive effect. So some of these cannabinoids don't have the intoxicating effects that we think that it's a bigger, badder cousin THC basically has.
So the whole idea is to understand that there's many ways of controlling the pathway. And that's one of the things I wanted to bring out, because what I've lectured on is its response to the central nervous system, and particularly the our old friend, the vagus nerve, and its ventral control of so many different things within the body. And the CB activation of, you know, that system, it will actually inhibit the activity of abundance of vagal stimulation, and it reduces, you know, those things. That's how it actually goes down and affects the intestinal tract. It affects it by affecting the vagus nerve and its attachment to that system. It's very interesting. It has my attention, but in very specific pathways. But this Wednesday evening, I know you're going to get in there. You're going to remove the cloak, if you will, from the mystique of what this really is. And what we want to really get our audience to understand is you just can't walk into a CBD shop or order online. You have to really modulate it directly for what it is needs. Every system in your body, every cell in your body has a CB receptor, a cannabinoid receptor, and you have to know it. You have to understand it. You have to make sure that it's being treated the right way. So Wednesday evening, 7 p.m., Roselle Center for Healing, we're going to talk about your migraines, your pain patterns, your inflammatory reactions, and so forth. And Dr. Pina is really going to show you step-by-step how it works. We're coming up to a break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Roselle Live. This is a fascinating program. We're going to continue it Wednesday evening as well, but we'll be right back and wrap it up for you in a little bit.
News Talk 105.9.
WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Roselle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Roselle Live, as you do every Sunday on the Eastern Seaboard. And we want to make sure that 12 o'clock noon, you're on your headset or your phone or you're in your car and you got us tuned in. And please tell everybody about us. I want to thank all of you who reach out on a regular basis, particularly our men and women in the armed forces. You guys are great. Without you, we wouldn't have what we have today. And anything that I can do to help you and support what you do, please let me know. I try to get back to you as quickly as possible. Just reach out to drtomroselle.com, or, you know, you can get me in a thousand different ways, rosellecare.com, any of those areas. And I promise you, I will not neglect you, and I will do whatever is necessary to make whatever you need happen. My guest today, Dr. Stephanie Pina, will be your host this coming Wednesday, May 4th, 7 p.m., Roselle Center for Healing in Fairfax. The program is simply this, the endocannabinoid system. And we're talking about something that has every cell's attention in your body. You know, we talked a little bit about endocannabinoid deficiencies. Yes, you can be deficient because your body is supposed to do it itself. And we're talking about the impact it has on irritable bowel problems, or even constipation, or migraine headaches, or other pain patterns and inflammatory reactions, but really how it works. And also what I want you to take away from it is that all of these substances are not created equally, and they break down into different receptors. We touched on two, CB1 and CB2. They do different things. They also control. We didn't even begin to get into it, RNA levels within the body. And that we can take into the modulation of what we just went through with 2 years of COVID-19, that has a direct impact in the inflammatory reactions that occur around the heart, the pericardium, the myocardial patterns can be controlled with this. Dr. Pina, this is a program I'm really excited about. And besides pain patterns and anxiety levels and in depressions and so forth, what are you going to talk about? what are you going to cover this evening?
Well, we're going to get into the basics, because if we don't understand what it's doing in our body, what does the endocannabinoid system do? What are the cannabinoids that we produce to? We can't understand really its true benefits. And to me, it's the system that definitely pulls everything together, but it's not talked about enough. So it really is truly one of the most holistic systems when you think about it. We're the sum of more than just our parts. We're going to give a little background on some of the way we got there. And so that means we got to dive a little bit into the history of cannabis and CBD. And then that kind of leads into basically where we go for the future with those particular products. And also the things that we can do to support our own endocannabinoid systems that don't involve those products. You know, one of the things we're going to get to is the runner's high. You know, that's that feeling of that runner's high. That's your endocannabinoid system. We thought it was endorphins, but it's not. It's actually the endocannabinoid system. So things that we can do, therapies, dietary-wise, things you can do basically on your own, but then also things that you need to kind of sit down and really kind of distinguish. When do I need to talk to somebody about this? Because as you were mentioning before, different CBD products and stuff, the one that's sitting in the gas station right next to the 5-hour energy drink is probably not going to be your best buddy. The one that you just bought online for $250, maybe also not your best buddy and best choice either. So there are some differences between what's available out there and how do you individualize those treatments, like anything, for the person that's in front of you. And essentially, we want to understand that just like any kind of biological plant medicines, it's more about how it works with the body and how the body listens to it and how we basically can use that over and over again in order to create changes in our health environment and our lifestyle factors than giving it one particular substance and saying it's a cure-all.
So I want to encourage anybody that's gone through post-COVID syndromes to attend this program, because this may be an answer to fixing a lot of things that normally we've avoided and can't be fixed. This Wednesday evening, May 4th, Dr. Stephanie Pina. We're coming up to the end of the program. Remember, we do this program on an ongoing basis for one reason and one reason only, simply because we love you. See you next week. Have a great day.